Good evening, and it's pretty amazing that I live about 900 miles away in Connecticut, and in this church I know three families. Your pastor, as he mentioned, we were together quite a while ago up in Maine, and the Lawsons were in New England for a while. We knew them well, and they fellowshiped with us in our Bible conference. And the Collins were with our church for quite a while, years ago, so it's quite amazing. Well, it's good to be here, and we're going to share with you, if you would turn, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. And we're going to look at just a few verses toward the end of the chapter, starting at verse 38. And maybe as we begin, there's just a few verses here through the end of the chapter. Maybe we could read those verses together in unison. Let's start at verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful that we can gather together tonight in our dear Savior's name. And it's our privilege, Lord, to open your word, to sit at your feet and to hear your word together tonight here in prayer meeting. So, Lord, may the Spirit of God open our eyes and show us wonderful things from your word. May our hearts be encouraged. May we be drawn closer to the Savior. May the Lord Jesus be lifted up. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, let's look together at verse 38, where we started reading. And it says, now it came to pass as they went. Now notice it says they. And as we continue reading, it says he entered into a certain village, speaking of Jesus, but it starts off they. And it's quite possible that not only was the Lord present in Mary and Martha's house, but the 12 disciples as well. The text doesn't say that specifically, but it does say they here at the beginning. And if that were true, you women can understand what that would mean. If 13 men came into your house and you needed to prepare a meal for them, I know my wife would consider that quite an undertaking and quite a project to feed 13 people and to give them all the hospitality she could possibly give them. So as they went, it says, then Jesus entered into a certain village. That certain village was a little village of Bethany. It was located on the southeast of the Mount of Olives. It was very close to Jerusalem. You could easily walk from Jerusalem to Bethany. It would be under 2 miles. And it was right on the road that led from Jerusalem all the way down to Jericho. But you wouldn't have to go too far from Jerusalem to get to this little village, which was the home of Martha and her sister Mary and their brother Lazarus. We don't read much about Lazarus in this passage, but of course later you will. Martha is a name that we only find, she's the only one that has this name in the New Testament. So when you read about Martha, it's always talking about this Martha. Mary, there are lots and lots of Marys in the New Testament. So you have to be careful with Mary. That must have been a very popular name back then. But it says here that Martha received the Lord Jesus into her house. She received him. She was very hospitable. She says, come into our home. We want you to be here. We welcome you into our home. So verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. Now that's an expression that indicated a master-disciple relationship. The disciple would sit at the master's feet and learn from the master. Now, we're going to be coming right back to this passage, but you might want to look in Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22, and down in verse 3, it's talking about Saul, or later to be known as Paul. Verse 3, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. So Paul, before he was saved, he sat at the feet of this very famous and well-known Jewish teacher, Gamaliel. Gamaliel was the master. Paul was the disciple. So it's a disciple-master relationship. Let's go back to Luke chapter 10. And again in verse 39, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, how would you like to have Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe, in your living room? Not only is he there, but he's eager and willing to teach you whatever you need to learn. What an amazing experience if he were in our home. But you know what? We have something just as good. We have the written word of God, and at any time we can sit before the master and we can hear his word, which is every bit as much God's word as if we were actually in his presence with him speaking to us. Isn't that true? And what a privilege we have to have the precious word of God and to be able to sit at the master's feet and to let him teach us. Not only that, we have the blessed Holy Spirit of God to be our teacher in that process. So, Martha, the King of the universe is in your living room. Why aren't you there with Mary to sit and to learn? Well, she had perhaps 13 people she was trying to get supper ready for. how important it is for us to spend time with the Lord, to spend time in His Word, to let Him speak to us. It's almost as if God were saying to us, my believer, my child, God's Word is right in your room, right in your house, right on your shelf. Why won't you open it and let me speak to your heart? Why not take advantage of what we have every single day? So verse 40, it says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Lord, I need Mary's help. She has left me here in the kitchen, all alone. So here she was, busy serving the Lord. She was busy, she was bothered. She was resentful of her sister. And she said, Lord, could you please straighten out my sister? But she's going to learn that it was the Lord that needed to straighten out her. She's the one that needed straightening out. Martha was in the wrong, but I'm sure you'd agree with me, she was doing nothing immoral. She was being hospitable. That's a good thing. She was serving her guests. Doesn't God want us to have a servant's heart? Even as our Lord came not to serve, not to be served, but He came to serve. And we want to be servants like our Lord. So all that's good. Hospitality is wonderful. It's a virtue. Serving the Lord is what He wants us to do. Preparing a meal, nothing wrong with that. But is it possible to serve the Lord in the wrong way? Is it possible to serve the Lord in the flesh with much activity and little fruit? All kinds of busyness. Is it possible to serve the Lord, but in all of our activity, God is not in it? And our labor can be in vain. Verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. See how He repeats her name twice? That was our Lord's way of giving a loving and gentle rebuke. Martha, Martha. I'll give you another example of that. Look in Luke chapter 22. And you remember on the very night that Peter was going to deny his Lord three times, verse 31, Luke 22, 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter had a great fall that night. He denied his Lord three times, but his faith did not totally fail. And the Lord said, I'm going to pray for you, Peter, that your faith will not fail. You see, he fell down very hard on the deck of the ship of faith, but he did not fall overboard. And I'm thankful that I have an intercessor who ever lives to make intercession for me and to pray for me that my faith will not totally fail. So that at the very end of my life, in my dying breath, I'll still have faith and I'll be able to say my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I'm not going to totally deny my Savior. God will keep me. Okay. So again, the name repeated twice, a loving rebuke, just like the Lord said, Martha, Martha, back in Luke chapter 10. And in verse 41, again, he said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. He said, you're careful, you're full of care, you're full of worry. All concerned about this meal or whatever she was so busy trying to get ready. And our Lord said, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. And she was troubled about many things. She was greatly disturbed. Not a very good state of mind. And keep in mind that when it says she was troubled or disturbed about many things. Keep that phrase in mind. Because in the next verse, we're going to read about one thing. Verse 42. But one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Mary was concerned about many things. I'm sorry, Martha. I'll probably get my Marthas and Marys confused throughout this message. So if you hear the wrong name, just fix it in your mind. Martha was concerned about many things. Mary was concerned about one thing. And I wonder, are you a one-thing believer? A single-minded believer? Just one thing, that's all I want. That's all I'm concerned about. Just one thing. Jesus Christ. Now, let's just illustrate that for a second. Look in Psalm 27. David was a one-thing believer. And in verse 27, Psalm 27, verse 4, how many things? One thing. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. I'm going to seek after just one thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. David was a one thing believer. I just want to be where God lives, and I want to behold his beauty. I want to get to know his glorious person, and that's all I want. That's all I'm going to seek after. Now, in the New Testament, let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. Paul was a one thing believer. Philippians chapter 3. And verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Not 15 different things. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. One thing, one goal. One thing he was after. Remember in verse 10, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. Mary said, there's one thing that I need. I need to sit. I need to be still and know that he is God. I need to hear his word. How often is it that the master of the universe is in my home? I'm going to take advantage. Now, sad to say, with most believers, God is not the one thing. But he's one of many things. For example, we have many things on our plate. And we might have shopping is one of the things. Going to work. Watching the news. Reading my Bible would be one of the things. Well, God's in that, so there's God in my life. Doing things with the family, doing things with friends. You can add whatever you want. Going to church, well, God should be in that. So God's now in two of the things I do. And whatever hobbies you have, going fishing. Charlie and I were going to go fishing, but didn't quite work out with the weather. And we have all these things we do, and God is in some of them. But a one thing person, it's totally different. Whatever I do, God is in it. Whatever it is. God is not part of my life. God is my life. Isn't that a big difference? And if I'm shopping, God's going to be in the shopping. If I'm fishing, God's going to be in the fishing. Or whatever it is. Mary had one thing that she chose to do. All right, back in Luke chapter 10. Verse 42, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Let's contrast Martha and Mary. Martha was serving. Mary was sitting. Martha was worrying. But Mary was worshiping. Martha was hurrying. She was in a hurry. Mary was hearing. Martha was busy with the work. Mary was attentive to the word. Martha was troubled about many things. Mary was concerned about one thing. Martha was trying to undertake. Mary was trying to understand. Martha was overoccupied. Mary was occupied with Christ. Martha was laboring. Mary was learning and loving. Martha was energetic. Mary was enjoying the Lord. Martha was busy and bothered. Mary was blessed. Someone has said, in a Martha world, we need to have a Mary heart. Don't we live in a Martha world? Everything's so busy and hectic. And in the middle of that, we need to have a Mary heart. Someone else said, may God give us Mary's heart and Martha's hands. Because we do want to serve in the right way. But the principle is simply this. Fellowship must precede service. Fellowship must precede service. We'll get to that more in a minute. Look with me, if you would, in the Gospel of John, where Mary and Martha are mentioned again. And chapter 12. In John chapter 12, it's kind of interesting because we find three things that we found in the passage we looked at with Mary and Martha. Here's the first. Verse 2. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. Here she is again, serving. Now, I'm not saying she was serving in the wrong way. Doesn't say that. And nowhere here does the Lord criticize her. But it's interesting that here again we find Martha serving the Lord and fixing supper. What do we find about Mary? Well, the same thing. Here again, we find Mary taking part in an act of devotion. And this time, verse 3, she took a pound of ointment, very costly. In our terms today, you'd have to work, a man would have to work a year of an average salary. I don't know what that would be. That's $25,000, $30,000. That's the money it would cost to buy this ointment. And she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Pretty amazing. And just like in the other passage, Mary was criticized for her act. Here we have Judas criticizing her, verse 5. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence, or denarii, and given to the poor? Why should we be so devoted to the Lord we just waste this ointment on him? So remember what Jesus said, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing has she kept this. You know, it's very interesting. Jesus said, she's anointing me for burial. Because later Christ would be crucified, put in the tomb, the ladies would come to anoint him for burial, and they never had a chance to do it because his body was gone. So his body had to be anointed prior to his death, and Jesus said, Mary has done that. So there's some similarities there. Look with me in Mark chapter 4. I'm sorry, Mark chapter 3. The principle is that fellowship must precede service. And we can get so busy serving the Lord that we forget the Lord that we're serving. Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. Before they ever went out to preach, what does it say? That they might be with him. Fellowship must precede service. Look in Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And verse 10. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord. You are my witnesses. Now, when we think of that, what do we usually think? You're my witnesses, therefore you need to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He says, you are my witnesses and my servant that you may know. You see that? That you may know me and believe me and understand that I am he. And before you ever go, you need to know. You need to be with him. You need to sit at his feet and hear his word. Because fellowship must precede service. Look in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, it doesn't mean they were stupid men. Both Peter and John wrote books of the New Testament. But it means they did not go to the recognized rabbinical schools of the day. But they marveled at these men, these mere fishermen, tax collector, and so forth. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. These were unsaved people noticing that these men were different. And they had a fragrance about them that was special. And the only reason was they had been with the Master. And when they went out serving him, what a difference it made. Because they had been with the Lord. In closing, let me share with you a poem that my wife shared with me once. It sort of sums up our message. Martha in the kitchen, serving with her hands, occupied for Jesus with her pots and pans, loving him, yet fevered, burdened to the brim, careful, troubled Martha, occupied for him. Mary on the footstool, eyes upon her Lord, occupied with Jesus, drinking in his word. This, the one thing needful, all else strangely dim, loving, resting Mary, occupied with him. So may we, like Mary, choose the better part, resting in his presence, hands and feet and heart, drinking in his wisdom, strengthened with his grace, waiting for the summons, eyes upon his face. When it comes, we're ready, spirit, will, and nerve. Mary's heart to worship, Martha's hands to serve. This the rightful order, as our lamps we trim, occupied with Jesus, then occupied for him. Father, we thank you for the reminder that we need to spend time with you so that our service would be fruitful and that God would be in it and it would not be in vain. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.